Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of the Everything Pup podcast. I'm your host, Holly Montgomery. Did you know that 48% of victims of domestic violence delay leaving their abuser because they aren't sure where to find safety with their pet? In honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, my guest today is Mandy Pratt from Grey Boy Pet Prints. Mandy once had to flee a domestic violence situation with her young child and her cat, and now she's a domestic violence advocate that speaks and teaches on this topic. In today's episode, Mandy's going to share some helpful resources about keeping pets and their people together during a crisis. Mandy is also a talented pet photographer and pet artist who uses her grandmother's printing press to craft portrait etchings from photos of your pet. She has a special offer for our listeners that we'll share with you at the end of this show. Now, I just wanted to give a little bit of a heads up that we will be discussing Mandy's personal experience with domestic violence. So if you feel like listening to that might be triggering for you, please keep that in mind and maybe skip this episode of the podcast. All right, let's get on with the show.
You're listening to the Everything Pup Podcast, the place for dedicated pup parents to find valuable dog-centric tips, interviews with trusted industry experts and your favorite dog brands, and everything else you need to become an informed advocate for your best friend. Now, here's your host, Holly Montgomery.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. So I'm really thrilled to have my friend and colleague, Mandy Pratt, on the show today. And we're going to talk about a very important subject, pets and domestic violence. So Mandy, I want to welcome you to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to start out just by telling our listeners a little bit about the journey that led you to becoming a domestic violence advocate.
Yes. So, gosh, it was about 17 years ago. I found myself in an abusive marriage and I left. I remember clearly the day I left with my 3-year-old son and my cat, Jake, who I nicknamed Grey Boy. And that kind of started our journey.
And so you were potentially looking for some resources yourself and found yourself in a situation where you needed to learn more about, you know, how to take care of yourself in this
exactly.
type of situation.
Right. And luckily, I was able to flee somewhere that would take all of us. So I didn't have to worry about leaving behind my cat because I have to say, I don't know if I would have left or how. I couldn't just leave him there. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So I feel lucky in that way that I had, you know, some resources.
I think a lot of pet lovers would agree with you in that situation. They're your family, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So do you know how many women and men experience domestic abuse in their lifetimes? Do you know the stats for that?
Yes. So the official stat is that it's 1 in every 3 women and 1 in every 4 men. And that's of those who report it, right?
Wow.
So over COVID, it went sky high. It was more than that. And I just remember reading about it, just being blown away because it's already a big problem. And then knowing that people were, you know, kind of trapped at home with their abuser when tensions are higher was like the perfect storm, right?
So did you find that, or do you think that, because I heard about that too. I heard that those stats went up quite a lot during COVID. And I was trying to figure out why that might be, but you had mentioned tensions being higher and probably money being a concern and job loss and future concern, all of that probably just leads to higher stress. And I mean, not that that's an excuse to behave that way, but probably what's attributing that to having happened. That stat that you mentioned about men actually surprised me. And you and I've talked about this before, how men don't report it as often as women do either, do they?
That's right. That's true.
So that number could very much be higher.
And I'm sure it's higher.
Mm-hmm. it's good for everybody to be aware that this doesn't just happen to women. It's both men and women. So here in Calgary, I was really shocked, actually, when I was doing my research for this podcast. I was really shocked to learn that we don't actually have a pet-friendly shelter here. And I mean, this is a big city. Wow. So we absolutely should, but we don't. And while I was doing my research, I found that only 15% of domestic violence shelters are pet-friendly. Is that a stat that you've heard before as well?
Yeah, it is. And I just can't believe it because, you know, of all the times when you need your best friend the most, right? Because if you think of a human best friend, you are, of course, talking to them during a crisis in your life, right? So you need your furry best friend too beside you, your soulmate, right? And that way you help each other because it's traumatic for them as well because they live through the tension, they live through the violence as well. So you guys are healing together. So it's really important to be together. And then that's also one less worry that you're having to deal with because you're trying to heal yourself, right? And get better and kind of start a new life. Well, that's kind of difficult to do when you're worried about your other family member, your pet. You know, where are they going to go? Are they going to be safe somewhere else? Am I going to be able to pay for boarding if that's needed? So there's so many things to it that a lot of people don't think about, you know?
That's true. A lot of people that are lucky enough to not having been in that situation wouldn't know that this is even a concern. I really hope that this podcast actually brings that to light for people because I think people need to know that. It's important to have your pet with you and also get them out of a potentially dangerous situation for them. Like, I can't imagine how much worry you would have about them being at home without you there. Because you protect them too, right?
Like, Yeah. And a lot of times, unfortunately, the abuser likes to use the pet as leverage because for somebody who's abusive, it's all about power and control for them. So actually, you can look up power and control wheel. You can Google that. And that describes the whole dynamic of it. And having a pet in the mix, a lot of times an abuser can use that as leverage. Like, you know, if you leave, then I'm going to, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever. And we should say, too, I'm sorry if anything's triggering in this. So if it is, I would hope that somebody could just, you know, hit the little fast forward, the 15 seconds button for them. But I do appreciate everybody who's listening because this is a really important topic. And I feel like it's so prevalent in our society and the types of abuse that are not as well known are really hidden as well too, such as emotional abuse, like what I went through. So I did experience physical abuse just a couple times, which is enough on its own to leave. But I also experienced emotional abuse and verbal abuse. So emotional abuse is tricky because I think a lot of times people might just think, oh, it's the way this, you know, certain culture does it, or it's a way that this type of person is, you know, no. Like if you strip it down to the core, do you feel safe where you're at? Do you feel safe emotionally? Do you feel safe physically? You know, there's so many things to it. So it's really looking at what is a healthy relationship versus what is an unhealthy relationship, you know, because every person deserves to live in peace. Right? And they deserve to live in safety.
No, I totally agree with you. And sometimes, like, at least what I've learned on my own reading about this is that a lot of people don't even realize that they're in an abusive situation sometimes.
Exactly.
So that's why podcasts like this or a lot of the work that you do is so important because we need to know this. I mean, it's important. You, like you said, everybody deserves a life of peace and happiness, and we shouldn't be held back by anybody or anything in pursuant of that. So,
right, that's true.
So, yes,
and it does hit all different levels, like all different. You know, it doesn't just have to be a certain, you know, lower class, middle class, whatever. Like it hits everybody in every culture and every, you know, gender, and there's just, unfortunately, it's so prevalent.
Well, I'm glad to have you today so we can talk about this more.
Thank you.
So on that note, Mandy, when we were talking about the lack of pet-friendly shelters, do you think that victims may delay or avoid leaving their abuser in fear of leaving their pet behind in a violent situation?
Definitely. The stats say that 48% of victims delay leaving because they aren't sure where to go safely with their pet. That's almost half of everybody, right? That's crazy.
And these are people that have already identified that they want to leave.
Exactly.
But they won't. So if anybody's listening out there in Calgary that has the power to make this pet-friendly shelter a reality, please keep that stat in mind. That is astronomical. That was shocking to learn that, actually. Mm-hmm. Very shocking. So we touched on this a little bit, Mandy, but why is it so important to keep domestic violence victims with their pets rather than separating them and or having them the pets left behind?
Right. Well, I would say the number one issue is safety, right? So if you leave the pet behind, would you want to trust them with somebody who's abusive? No, right?
Right.
And I want to say to anybody who's been through this and who's had to do that, there's no judgment, right? So we're not victim blaming. We're not judging. Everybody's situation is different. Like I was saying, in my situation, I was lucky because I was able to have somewhere to go with my cat. But yes, it's important for safety. It's important to not leave any type of leverage for an abuser to use against you. And then the third thing is, you know, just for healing, right? Because they're such buddies. They're soulmates. So yeah, that's super important.
So if you don't have a pet-friendly shelter in your city or town, what are some other options for victims with pets? Where do they go?
Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, if you could find somewhere for them, just a temporary foster, friend or family, make sure it's not somebody that your abuser would know about. Or you can board, but that gets expensive. There's a resource that I share on my website, on my blog. I wrote all about this on greyboypetportraits.com on the blog. One of my very favorite resources to give is the website redrover.org. And they are a nonprofit that helps with this. And I love them because they help with, they kind of attack the problem from different angles. So one is they give grants to domestic violence shelters to help them build on like a section to keep the pets with them, with the victims. And another thing is they give out grants for boarding, right? So emergency boarding, they give out grants for that. They do help, from my knowledge that I last understood, they help the United States and they help Canada. Those in Canada should really connect with them. It's really important. And if you go to that website, either my blog or go directly to redrover.org, they have all kinds of different resources there for people.
Oh, great. And we'll put all those resources in the show notes for you if you're listening, so you don't have to panic. If you don't have a pen on you, we will definitely put all that down for you. So with Red Rover, do you think that this is something that maybe a boarding facility could even reach out with them and learn ways that maybe they could help?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Or at least get educated. Because for me, mm-hmm. like when I started looking into this because I knew we were going to chat, there was so much stuff I learned that I didn't know was out there in terms of resources and places that people could go. And it's just, it's crazy eye-opening when you don't ever look into it and then you see all these situations and you're like, I didn't even know about that. And you kind of feel bad. Like, why don't I know about this? And why isn't there more that I could be doing? And if you had a boarding facility and it was something that you wanted to maybe see if there's a way that you can help or reach out to these organizations to partner with them. I think it would be worth it to try or see if there's a way that you could help.
Definitely. And I noticed too on their website, they have a little training for people that work at shelters, people, you know, all kinds of different connections there. So like I was saying, there's just a lot there for people if they want to get involved and help.
Oh, that's great. That's great. We'll make sure you guys, even if we don't talk about some of these live in our interview here, we'll definitely, I will fill the show notes with resources for you. So if anybody's looking for any ways they can help or even ways they can get help, we'll definitely have that for you. Now, so you mentioned Red Rover and a few other things, but I just want to touch on a few, if there's any other resources that maybe you wanted to share that you would definitely want to get into the podcast today.
I think definitely sharing as well one of my other favorite resources, and that is a website. We can put in the show notes, but it's called themendproject.com, as in sewing mend, M-E-N-D. And they are so good at describing what abuse is, right? So for people who might be listening to this and they're thinking, you know, well, I don't know if I am or not, you know, if you go to that website, it describes so well. Oh my goodness, it's just a great resource. So if I were to only give two resources, it would be those two websites. But of course, I have a lot more. So yeah.
We'll make sure to get them in there. Yeah. So if you were somebody who's maybe not in a situation where you were needing help, but if you were just a person like myself who maybe wanted to learn how to help a friend or somebody like that, would this resource be good for that as well?
Yes, I would say probably my blog post might be a little bit better for that because I give practical examples of what I wish I had when that was happening to me. So a couple of those things were, you know, believe the person when they tell you what's going on, because my person that I was married to who was abusive, he was very charming and manipulative. So to them, it was like such a surprise because those kind of people like to be like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So, and then another thing is listening without judgment and just encouraging them, and then just actual practical things. So like I mentioned, at that time, I had a three-year-old, right? So here I am now, a newly single mother with a three-year-old and a cat. And like, where the heck are we going? What am I doing? How am I going to get away? You know? And so just practical things are so nice, like providing a meal or treating them to coffee or mowing the grass for them, you know, just simple things like that. And of course, you want to do that when it's safe to do that. So once I left and got free, then it was safe. But it would have been awkward if I was still with my abuser and somebody showing up like, hey, how can I help you? Can I mow your grass? And he's like, why are they here? You know?
Yeah.
So it's just using common sense. But yeah, once, you know, somebody's able to, you know, get safe and do that sort of thing, then that's important. And I should mention also that if you are thinking of leaving, it's a very good idea to speak with an expert about that and to reach out to a DV hotline, which I'm sure you'll put in the show notes as well, because they help you come up with an actual safety plan. So that way it's not just like, you know, hey, I'm leaving, I hope it works out. Because you need to, in that kind of situation, you need to be careful and plan ahead. So like, for instance, I'm just going to give one little blip about that. For me, when I told my abuser I was leaving, I did it in a private space because it's not a good idea to do that privately, right? Because they get mad and who knows what will happen. So, so there's a plan and there's certain wise things to do. So it's important to think ahead, plan ahead.
And one thing that I noticed when I was looking on some of those websites last night is that they even had a little pop-up window that came up that would tell you to clear your cookies.
Yeah.
It would tell you how to clear your cookies. Mm-hmm. It was, like I said earlier, it's just eye-opening, like stuff you don't think about. So these resources are really important because they help you get out safely. Because really, like, one of the websites had said something about online tracking is extremely easy. I mean, they can go and look at what websites you've been on.
There's so much to say about that. I could just like go on about that. Like, I'll give you another resource we'll put in the show notes about that, because there's a whole nother person that I love to follow that talks all about digital safety.
Right.
So I'll give that to you as well.
That's something that we all need, really.
I know, right?
There's no privacy left anymore, and anybody can really find out anything that you've been up to or planning to get up to. So, yes, I'll put that in the show notes as well. As a person that might be thinking about approaching a friend that you suspect might need help, is there a sensitive way to do that, or should you wait until the friend approaches you for help?
That's such a good question. So I would probably recommend, because I don't know everybody's situation, I would recommend that this friend who is not being, you know, who's in the safe situation, I would recommend that they would call the DV hotline and ask them what to do, right? And you would never think of this, right? Like, I would have never thought of that before. Anybody can call that hotline, not just somebody who's in an abusive situation, but you can call as a friend and say, hey, you know, my friend or my sister or whatever, I really believe that she might be, you know, being abused and I'm concerned for her. How do you recommend that I approach this? And then they'll give you all the expert, you know, information.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really good to know, because I was even thinking that as a friend, you could offer to pet sit, to look after their animal for them for a while. But I would be worried that me approaching and asking the question would cause a problem. And I would want to make sure that I didn't do that. So that's great to know that there's a resource like that.
Yeah.
Really helpful to know. See, I'm learning so much today.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being willing to learn about it. And of course, holding this space for us. It's really important. So thank you.
I think so too. And I know there's a lot of pet lovers out there that, that have other pet lovers in their life, and they want to make sure that those animals are safe and their people are safe as well. So I think that's really, really great. So I want to make sure that I mention, we have a lot of Calgary listeners. So I just want to make sure that I let you guys know that there is a place in Calgary called Parachutes for Pets. And when I first met them, this was probably just before COVID. They were just starting up before COVID. And what they initially intended on doing, their organization, was to build a pet-friendly shelter here in Calgary. And then COVID happened, and the demand for pet food and basically pet care, vet care, kind of took over that. So that organization has been working really hard to make sure that animals in low income or homeless situations are getting vet care and food. So they kind of steered away into that area a little bit. But I just spoke with Melissa from Parachutes for Pets last week, and they are still aiming to start that pet friendly shelter here in Calgary. So if anybody wants to help, even if there's nothing else you can really do, but you have a few extra dollars, you can visit parachutesforpets.com, and I will put that in the show notes as well, and leave them a donation or ask if there's any way you can help. And that's something that we can do here in Calgary. I'm sure there are tons of ways all across the world, anybody who's listening, that you can help. And maybe some of these resources we're giving you will kind of steer you in the direction that you need to go to kind of lend a hand. So as we wrap up this episode, I want to chat for a minute about Mandy, your pet portrait etchings, which are beautiful pieces of artwork created from a photo. So can you tell us a little bit about your etchings and how you tie your artwork into your work with domestic violence survivors?
Sure. So I basically, on my about page, I share about our story a little bit, and I share about Jake, my gray boy. And it was through that story that I realized how important our soulmates are, right? And how much I want to remember him forever. And because I'm an artist, I started creating these pet portrait etchings from anybody's photo So that way we have some, you know, type of special frameable, you know, keepsake that we can always remember them, because they're such like healing buddies to us. And so it's my desire to be able to, you know, make that for other people and help them, you know, heal with artwork.
That's fantastic. And in the previous, I don't know what episode number it was, but I'll put that in the show notes. We had an interview with Sarah Earnhardt where we talked about end-of-life pet photography and how in some situations it might not be possible. And we discussed how potentially you could visit an, or touch base with an artist and have your pet's portrait done that way. So this, these etchings, and I will put a photo also in the blog post showing you a beautiful etching that Mandy did of my dog Pebbles that I absolutely cherish. And of course, you guys might be thinking, as a pet photographer, you have tons of photos. Why do you need this? And I'm like, it's just different. Not all artwork is, of course, is exactly the same, but this is just like such a classic piece of art. It's just stunning, and I'm in love with it. So I'll definitely put a photo of that. But Mandy can just use photos that you've taken on your cell phone, and you don't have to have a fancy camera or camera skills like somebody like Mandy's also a pet photographer, like her or I might have. You don't need that when you get an etching like this done. So definitely don't let that stop you. Definitely check out her artwork. So I'm going to give you in the show notes all of the resources that Mandy shared with us. And I'm going to give you links to Mandy's Gray Boy Pet Portraits website. And Mandy has very generously given us a coupon code to use to save you 10% if you decide you want to get a pet etching of your very own. And the coupon code is Brindleberry. And I'll make sure to also put that in the show notes for you. The show notes are going to be longer than the podcast. That's the nature of resources. They need to be written down and gone after and read. So definitely going to be a long amount of show notes. So hopefully you chat that you'll have all that resource for you at the end there. Mandy, do you have anything you want to add before we sign off? I feel like I want to make sure that we get everything in here in this episode.
Yes, I would love to add one more resource. And I know you're going to put them in the show notes, but I just want to say it verbally in case somebody doesn't look at the show notes.
Yes, which happens a lot.
Yeah. So basically all the resources are in my blog post, grayboypetportraits.com on the blog. But I would say one of the other things is somebody had made a website that actually shows all the different locations throughout the United States and Canada that shows where these pet-friendly shelters are. And that's where I saw the ones in Canada. So that it's all listed on my site, and it'll be on the show notes. But just wanted to mention safeplaceforpets.org.
Perfect.
And I just want people to know there is a resource that lists all the different, you know, and it lists the city, but of course, you know, they may not list like exact locations because we don't want to give everybody a location. Yes. We want to be smart about that. But anyway, there's a way for you to find out that information. So yes. So main point being, there are all kinds of resources that are available. It's just matching up the right resource to people who need it. So again, thank you so much for having this space for us to discuss this and to make sure that people are, number one, aware of the prevalence of this issue, and number two, aware of the resources out there. And number three, I guess just knowing that they're not alone, hearing the stats, hearing my story, they're not alone. And I remember myself when I decided to leave, it was really scary. I didn't know the future. I didn't know what would happen. I'm now remarried and I live a so much better life. Oh my gosh. And I'm so glad that I left. My son is now 21, healthy kid. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. So I just wanted to say that.
Oh, That's amazing to hear. And I've watched that your son is all grown up now. He's huge.
He can definitely take care of himself now.
Yes, he can. And that's just crazy to me because, I mean, I've known you for a while, so he was much younger when we met.
Yeah,
but it's always crazy to me. I don't know why that kids grow up, but it's always just reminds you of how old
it happens getting. Faster than you think. Yeah, yes,
absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight, Mandy. I really appreciate it. I know you're a busy person. So this has been Mandy Pratt, and I'm Holly Montgomery. And thank you, everybody, so much for listening tonight. Bye bye for now.
Thank you for listening. If you loved this episode, please subscribe and share with your dog-loving friends. The information in this podcast is not intended to replace veterinary care. Always consult with your veterinarian for diagnosis and treatment of your pup.